Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing? Everybody doing good? It's good to be back. Good to see everybody. Heard y'all had a couple good services, great services on Sunday night. Wednesday today has been a very long day. But anyway, we tuned in a little bit and watched that. Thank you for letting us get away for a few days, get lost up in the mountains. I tell you, it's very easy to do. Isn't it, Ceylon? It's easy to get lost up there. And Christy's grandfather on her father's side has a place. My goodness, it seems like it was at the top of a mountain. We never found it. Now we made it to where we were staying at, but the place where her grandpa, the place her grandfather has, it's at the very top of a mountain. If you know anything about Blue Ridge, there's a church right before you get into Blue Ridge called, Cherry Log Baptist Church, something like that. It has it spelt out in the grass. Down that road, about 30 minutes going around a mountain, is where her grandparents' place is at. And so we went up and around and up to the very top, and then it was raining, and it was all gravel. And Christy says, "I think it's down at the bottom of that hill." I said, "Well, honey, number one, it's raining, there's gravel, it's at the bottom of that hill, there's a sign that says beware bears, and there's deers walking in front of us." I said, "I think we're going to turn around and go back." And I could just see us trying to go down that mountain, applying the brake, and just sliding that gravel and trying to get back up. So we had a great adventure. We ate a lot and did a little bit of walking. And now it's back to a lot of walking and a little bit of eating. But anyway, thank you so very much. It's so refreshing. It's amazing when you disconnect to reconnect with your spouse, your friend, your family, how fast it can happen. I mean, we just had the best time of connecting. Didn't really do anything. I mean, you know, just walking and talking and just enjoying each other's company. So what a blessing that was. But thank you so much. And it is good to be back. We wanted to go ahead, I guess, and just jump right into things on our prayer list and our bulletin. I did speak with or texted back and forth with Miss Shirley Townsend. Last I heard, she's home from the hospital, and she's doing better, recovering. Still not 100%, but please remember her, Brother James. I did get the unfortunate news. I'm sure much of you have, or some of you have. I don't know about much, but Pastor Jose at the Cajamarca Church in Peru, Brother Don's, lead pastor there, or the pastor there at their first church, died of a heart attack, passed away. Lee Ellen, when was that? That was Friday. Woke up and seen that on Facebook, and my goodness. I guess he was a pastor there 16-plus years, or at least they knew each other that long. Probably a pastor there longer than that. But please remember the family. He said, so I reached out to Brother Don and when we were in Blue Ridge, and he said that, yeah, he went to the hospital, I guess it was, complaining of his heart, and he had a heart attack, and he passed. If I got that wrong, my apologies, but if you feel something, get it checked out. If you feel something, just get it checked out. You just never know what may happen. But Pastor Jose, he is completely well in the presence of Jesus. But his church, his family, what a unexpected sudden death. So just remember them, if you would. Remember our children's home. And there's no youth tonight. I believe there's a program or something other going on over at one of the schools that the kids go to, the high school, the Christian school. So they're over there, and so remember that. So we're the only ones in the house tonight, all upstairs. So just remember our children's home staff and everybody there. Again, the Rich family over in Peru and the Rich family here. Remember them as well. I won't leave them out. Remember Claudia, Miss Claudia, in her health elements, Brother Harold, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Connie Norton, Randy and Diane Ely, the Daleys, the Ashworths, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, Kevin Brook, which is there at the college. Just remember that. Remember, this coming up Sunday is Mother's Day, so honor your mother, you know, that special lady. Of course, some of you will probably be honored, I'm sure, and that's what we want to do. We'll have Sunday morning service. There will be no Sunday night service on Sunday night, spending time with that special lady in your life on Mother's Day, so remember that. Also, Friday, trip to Gibbs Garden. Is that still on? Okay. Is that on the way to Blue Ridge? I thought so. I seen a sign that said, oh, yeah, it said Gibbs Garden. I said, look at there, Gibbs Garden. I told Christy, I said, and we're going to try to make that. It's been a very eventful week this week, and I started out with my car in the shop on Monday and got it back, and just different things going on, but so unfortunately we won't be able to make it, but I hope y'all have a really good time. We'll be praying that you have a great time on that trip. Remember that. And brand new month of May. Last Sunday was the first Sunday of the month, and we're rolling into the second Sunday, and just keep in touch, keep up to date in your bulletin what's going on, and we have no plans of slowing down around here. We want to keep moving forward, keep planning stuff, and keep watching God do great things. And so good to see Miss Nancy here with us tonight. Nancy Carden sneaking in on us. Of course, Miss Chrissy, about called you Christy. Close enough, huh? And Miss Chrissy is graduating, aren't we? When was that? Tomorrow morning. All right. Well, congratulations. Let's give her a round of applause tonight. You did it. You did it. And not only did you graduate high school, but college. And so we are so, so proud of you. And we're waiting to see if Christian is. Do you know? Oh, not yet. Okay. I was waiting to get back on that to see if he was graduating. And what a blessing. We're so proud of you. All right. I'll open the floor. Maybe if someone has a prayer request, a praise. Be praying. Anybody else? Hassan. Good. Yeah. We're praying for you, and you're welcome for the prayers. And guess what? Hassan, I was at the dentist this morning. I was. So dealing with a little something from there myself. And but anyway, all right. Anybody else? Yeah.
This little fellow, well, young man, teenager, I'm not sure. Anyway, Marianne and the ladies that go to Waffle House every day, they talked with him for a long time, invited him to church. Well, just so happened, he was doing the sign, the church signs here. I didn't know it was him. He come walking across the church parking lot. He says, you got a church here? Mary and Sandy said, yeah. And says, well, we know each other through Waffle House. I said, oh, I said, you're Spencer, aren't you? And he said, yeah. And I got to witness to him a little bit and talk to him.
Great.
Told him about my salvation.
Wonderful.
Coming back soon. It just felt good.
Awesome. Yes, ma'am.
That was an accident.
No, ma'am. That is awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Right about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you have an opportunity, when it works out that way and tell somebody about the Lord, it ought to make you excited to share your faith like that. I mean, that's what we were called to do. And what's the old saying goes, I'm just a beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. That's what our story is. Awesome. We'll pray them in the church house. And I believe, Brother Don, didn't you meet Trail through Waffle House?
Yeah.
A lot of great things happen at Waffle House. Not to mention the food. You know? So, anyway, anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, bro.
I
Okay.
We can walk a while. So if I spend about 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Rehashing our lives.
Okay.
You know, good and the bad.
Yes, sir.
And it was just fantastic.
Awesome. Awesome.
Talking to him and just find out that he's going through some of the same trials I have.
Yes, sir.
And I'm still going through.
How about that?
And I appreciate
you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, and that's what we're supposed to do. You know, iron sharpens iron. We're supposed to encourage one another, share our burdens, and be encouraged. And we all have a story, don't we? And the story's not over yet. There's different chapters in our story. So we all have past pages. We all have pages that's being written now. And there's going to be future pages. We all have a story. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Mac and Baptist Church does OCC with Chris and Michelle Schumacher.
Yes.
Marianne and Sharon came with us Monday with Frank and I. And it's not about the church, it's about the Schumacher.
Yes.
But they seem to enjoy it. And I just want to invite anybody. If they're coming again, it's Monday. It's
awesome.
At 5 o'clock at Mac and Baptist Church.
Okay.
It's fun.
I've heard so much about it. Miss Marianne shared some stuff with me about it in the past, and it's good to see participation in that, and maybe it'll spread a little bit and grow, and others can participate if they want to. But yeah, thank you for sharing. That's great. I know it's a great time of fellowship as well. You used to do it here? Hey, it may develop back into an operation here. That'd be great. Anybody else?
If you've never been to the packing plant where they pack the boxes to send off for OCC,
yeah,
you guys really need to go just to listen to the stories of how the gospel message is presented to the kids, and then the kids go home and share it.
Wow.
They have some amazing,
yes, ma'am,
stories.
That's
and
awesome.
If God tells you to put a little dress in a boy's box, you do, because that brother has been praying for a dress for his sister.
Oh.
It's amazing. And working where I work, I get to see different people shopping for OCC, and the stories there is wonderful. But if you get together, don't you?
Thank you, Miss Nancy. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. Definitely.
I think I told this in Sunday school last Sunday, but our granddaughter Anne and her future father-in-law had stage 4 colon cancer. And it doesn't look good at all. But his name is Carl Reddy. So
yeah.
Y'all please pray for him. We've got 2 kids getting married in the next 2 months.
In relation to you, who is it?
It's Hannah, our granddaughter.
Oh, yeah.
Hannah, her future father.
Okay.
Her and Tyler are getting married in August, and Tyler's sister, Lexi, is getting married in June. So it's Carl Redding, so now we're going to
Carl Redding.
Appreciate it.
You say cancer, stage 4.
Yes, colon cancer.
Anybody else? That is amazing.
It's a small graduation. That's what I might be. It's just the parents and them. And it's either July or August they're going to have this big graduation. But she's
awesome.
Finished and she's on
the way. That is amazing. I know you're proud.
Yes, I am.
Congratulations to her. Anybody else? All right. Well, that's all, and let's all meet in the altar, those that can and would like to, and we'll have a time of prayer together, silent prayer, and Brother Jeff have a song, I'm sure.
as long as you think just about everybody here has sung this chorus back when you were teenagers, probably. And we've done it here too. And it's God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And there it is. Got it.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Praise the Lord that we serve a good, good Father. James says, every perfect, good gift comes from the Father of lights, where there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. The Lord is good tonight, and every good gift comes from Him. And thank God for the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to say this right quick. What an amazing floor we have in this hallway. Do you love that? Say amen.
Amen.
I just want to thank the donor of that, those who gave for that project. It is amazing. It's beautiful. I couldn't wait to get here on Monday. Took Lily to school, got on over here and checked it out, took a bunch of pictures. And great job. Our church is being transformed physically, and the people are being transformed spiritually. And so in my book, my estimation, God's blessing Calvary, and we are definitely moving forward. So what a beautiful, beautiful floor. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, and I'm sure you do, turn, if you would, to Titus chapter number 2 for just a moment. Titus chapter number 2. We're going to read one verse, verse number 11. And on recent Wednesday nights, we've talked about various subjects. We've kind of dove in a little deep. We have definitely mentioned several verses and been real heavy on the verses. I'm really not that heavy on the verses at one time because I like to think about a particular verse for an amount of time. But sometimes you just got to give it out as the best way, like it is. We talked about sanctification on one Wednesday night. We talked about dealing with depravity last Wednesday night. And on another Wednesday night, we talked about working out your salvation. And so we've been looking at different doctrines of the Bible. Just kind of just diving in and unpacking what we have, trying to understand this thing called salvation. And no matter the smallest length of time you've been saved or the longest length of time, salvation is something that's going to forever be discovered and learned about until we meet Jesus, till our faith ends in sight. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to just teach a little bit on Wednesday nights. And of course, on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, we like to preach. But at any rate, there is something I want to look at tonight. Titus chapter number 2. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Stop there, verse 13. I like to share verse 13 with the Jehovah Witnesses, of course, proving that God is Jesus. This is just one spot. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God is Jesus. Jesus is God tonight. I'm interested tonight in verse number 11. He says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Just for a moment tonight, I want to look at the subject of this. That is a glimpse of grace. A glimpse of grace. I want to talk about the definition of the word grace. I want to look at the description of grace. And then I want to look at different words that are coupled with grace in the Bible. Are you thankful for the grace of God tonight? Before we even look at the meaning of the word grace, aren't you glad and grateful that God gives us something that's called grace that helps us move forward and move along in this life? I'm glad for that. I know you are. Thank God for the grace of God. The definition of grace. What does the word grace really mean? Well, I like what one person said. They did what you call an acrostic on grace. Take the word G and give it a meaning. The word R meaning A, meaning C, meaning E has a meaning as well. This is what they said that grace means: God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good way of looking at the word grace. And that is, again, God's riches at Christ's expense. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And it appeared to all men openly on the cross of Jesus Christ. Grace is God's riches as Christ at Christ's expense. And of course, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men on the cross, but in the Scriptures. That's how we read about the cross. And so man is without excuse. That's one definition of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. There's a man by the name of J. Dwight Pentecost. Anybody ever heard him? J. Dwight Pentecost, writer, preacher. He says, grace is God's response to man's need. God responds to man's need. That's called the grace of God. Also, another definition of grace in a nutshell is simply this: undeserved merit. Undeserved merit. I'm glad tonight that God touches me when I don't deserve it. God blesses me when I don't deserve it. God just has a way of being with me, walking with me, talking with me, being with you, walking with you, talking with you, even when you don't deserve it. And of course, there's nothing that we could do to deserve the love of God, the grace of God. God just gives us grace. Someone said one time there's a difference between grace and mercy. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, while mercy is not getting what we do deserve. We tonight deserve hell. We tonight do not deserve to have Jesus in our hearts, to walk with us, to talk with us. We don't deserve God's blessings. We don't deserve none of those things. So God tonight has been very merciful to me. He is a merciful God and a gracious God. I like what David said in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, there at the end. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm so glad that I can't depart from the love, and grace, and mercy, and goodness of God. Again, there's nothing that I can do to make them love me anymore. There's nothing I can do to make them love me any less. I've got grace. I've got mercy. I've got the goodness of God, the love of God. All of those things chasing me down. There's even a song that talks about mercy and grace chasing me down. Do you have a problem tonight? If you do, guess what? There's the grace of God. There's the mercy of God. And so there isn't a problem that the grace of God and mercy of God cannot solve in our life. Again, there is grace tonight, and that's the subject, a glimpse of grace. And so grace is getting what we don't deserve. Again, grace is undeserved merit. Again, grace is God's response to man's need. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. So that's the definition of the word grace. Now, what about the description of grace? And what I mean by description of grace, facts about grace. What does the Bible say about grace? Well, I want to just dive in a little bit. And the verse we're looking at tonight, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, is where we're going to start. And we see that God's grace is available not to some men, but to all men. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Not the poor men only, not the rich men only, not the wise, not the unwise only. But all men, everywhere, God has called all men to repentance and salvation. And I'm so thankful and so grateful for this undeserved merit, this salvation that has appeared to all men. Some would have you to believe that God has only elected some to be saved. And certainly the Jehovah's Witnesses in their cult, they hold to the fact of the 144 chosen, the 144,000. Their theology is totally incorrect. But if you knock on enough doors and you reach enough people, you might earn a place in paradise. And they're not even sure about that. And so thank God that salvation is available for all men. So Paul says here that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, there's God's grace is available for all men, but also in this verse we see the source of salvation, which is the grace of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So thank God that salvation is for all men, and thank God for the grace of God that brought salvation to all men. It's just all about God's grace tonight. It's all about catching a glimpse of God's grace in this verse and in the Bible. So the source of salvation is the grace of God. And we read that here. And so lost people and sinners are saved by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. If hold your place here and turn, if you would, to Ephesians 2. We're not going to do a rapid Bible drill tonight. I told myself after last Wednesday, I want to just slow it down just a bit, spend a little more time with certain verses, but at any rate, we're getting as many verses out there as we can. Ephesians chapter number 2. In verse number 4, lost sinners are saved by the grace and mercy of God. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, as Brother Allen would say, after when he shares his heart and he says certain things, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And so we see that that sinners and lost people, which all of us were before salvation, are saved by the grace and mercy of God. The Bible says he is rich in mercy. Oh, Brother Justin, you don't understand. I can't get saved. I've done too many bad things. You have to step over this verse where God is rich in mercy. God is not bankrupt in mercy. He's not running low in mercy. You say, Brother Justin, I'm saved, but you don't understand what I've done since I've been saved. God is mad at me. God is upset with me. God will not be merciful to me. You will have to step over this verse, even as a believer, because God is not running low on mercy. In fact, the Bible says in Lamentations that the mercies of God are new every single morning. We got that placard, that picture frame on our wall in the festive view of the foyer when you walk in. The verse in Lamentations, was it 3:23, Brother Ceylon? Talks about that his compassions fail not, his mercies are new every morning. And so every time I walk out the door to take Lily to school, I'm looking at that, and I'm walking out of the door embracing new mercy. I'm walking out the door embracing the grace of God. And you tonight, even as a believer, God is rich in mercy. He is wanting to forgive. He is wanting to save. He is wanting to be our companion. He wants to scooch up next to us, and he wants to land kisses from the Holy Spirit on our cheeks and tell us that I am with you, and I'm walking with you and talking with you, and I will complete my work in your life. What a blessing tonight for the mercy of God, the rich mercy of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. I love John 3:16. For God loved the world. Y'all know better than that. For God so loved the world. Christy, I love you. If you're watching on Facebook right now, I love you. Lily, I love you. Kind of feels weird saying that when they're not here and I'm just looking to the roof of the church. But I know they're watching, and I don't just love you, but I love you so much. I'm trying to describe how much I love them. And Brother Ceylon, I know that you and Miss Catherine have been married a while. Just a little bit. How long? Soon be 60 years. And Christy and I, we're getting ready to hit 20. Yeah, you love her so much, big boy. 19 or 20. But I tell you this. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. We first met, I was infatuated with her. But 19 going on 20 years later, I not only still love her like I did in the beginning, but it is a much matured love. We've been through some things. You've been through some things with your spouses. You've been through some things with your friends. You've been through some things with your family. When times were hard and your marriage or your relationships were challenged, but because of the love of God that y'all had in your relationship and your love for each other, God got you through it. And then when you go away to the mountains for a weekend and no distractions, and you're just so happy to be together, and you sit down and you overindulge at Burger King on a Bacon King combo and a large fry and a large Coke, and before the burger's even down, you're wondering what you're going to go eat, get for dessert over at Mercier's, huh? And listen, you are spending quality time with that one that you love so much. Priceless. We didn't have to be in Jamaica for a few days. We didn't have... Look, we could have stayed at home and parked it in the living room for a few days and just really enjoyed ourselves just being with one another. And so Christ loves us so much. He has so much mercy. He has so much grace. And so tonight it would do us good if we wake up in the morning and say, before I leave this house, I'm going to understand. Lord, help me understand how much you love me and how much grace and mercy is there for me. I think if we really had a conviction and a persuasion of what we have in Jesus, this endless supply of mercy and grace, I believe it would put a spring in our step if we don't have one already. And so we read that here in Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. That's wonderful. It's really speaking to me right now. Rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. We could go on and on. One of Celon's favorite books. Read verse 5. Let's go to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Even when we didn't have nothing to do with it, we were dead and doomed and dead in our sins, the Lord quickened us together. By grace are you saved. And I believe those words are put there, by grace are you saved, letting us know we didn't have nothing to do with it. By grace are we saved. You want to get a glimpse of grace? Look at the life that the Lord has saved. Now, it was an honor and it was a privilege to baptize those two angels the other Sunday. And they are angels. That's their last name. Angels are angel. Jalen and Gracie Angel. And to know that they asked Jesus to come into their heart and they understood with the mindset they had, they have at the time, the gospel message. And the Bible says, suffer not the little children to come to me. And so with childlike faith, they accepted the Lord and to baptize them. What a blessing. What a blessing. That's a glimpse of grace. God saving the youngest of sinners and God saving the oldest of sinners and all in between. Tonight, there is so many snapshots of grace. Celon is a snapshot of grace. Jeff and Sharon are snapshots of grace. And on we go. Everybody has their own stories and salvation experiences, but you want to see a glimpse of grace? Look this way. And if I want to see a glimpse of grace, I'll look your way. And before you know it, we're so overwhelmed at the glimpses of grace. And God has encouraged our hearts just by us being together. That's why the Bible talks about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another and coming together more and more, because every time you look at me and every time I look at you, I see the grace of God. And we're strengthened by our stories. Brother, I want to call you Richard for some reason so much. Frank. Frankly. You say frankly or Franklin? Frank. What you shared a moment ago, you and Brother Don, just sharing stories and getting encouraged, and the encouragement you received, that's how it's supposed to be. Just looking at Frank, a glimpse of grace. Frank, you looking at Don, a glimpse of grace. And we start to understand grace a little better. What a blessing for the glimpses of grace. And so the source of salvation is the grace of God. We mentioned that here, or back in our text verse, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Salvation is for all men. We go on and we read other places. There's many blessings mentioned by Paul in Ephesians that are a direct result of the grace of God. I want to read some of these. I love these. Chapter 1, Ephesians. In verse number 4, We are chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. I preached on this not long ago, but look at verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Pause for a moment. We must be very important. He was thinking about salvation's plan. He was choosing the redemptive plan to die for sinful man before He even gave thought to the world. If that don't encourage you tonight, your wood's wet. He says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, before He put earth on its axis, He had already chosen us and set salvation's plan in order. We serve a God tonight that was thinking about us before we were ever an ant on the in the world. Wow, that's encouraging. The grace of God. This is a result of the grace of God. We were chosen. But then look in verse number 5. Predestinated and adopted, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Adoption. You know one thing that's so special about adoption? You were hand-picked, adopted. Tonight, each and every one of you were hand-picked by God. Everybody was hand-picked by God. The Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen ones are those who answer the call. And what a blessing tonight when we, knowing that we have been chosen, adopted. We have been adopted. God says, I want you, Don. I want you, Yvonne. I want you. I mean, we were born into the family of God spiritually, but at the same time, we've been adopted into the family of God. We have been engrafted in as a Gentile. What a blessing. What a blessing. Adoption. Predestinate. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Again, don't be too troubled about the word predestinated or predestined. We know ultimately we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. We're going to look more like Jesus the longer we stay at this thing. That's His goal. That's His plan, to transform us into the image of His Son. All right. Verse number 6. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever felt rejection before? Has anybody ever experienced rejection? No, Mr. Miss, you're not good enough. No, Mr. Miss, no, we don't want your kind. You're not good enough. Well, the Bible says that we have been accepted. Not rejected, but accepted. To the verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We're not accepted in God because of our righteousness. We're not accepted in God because of our good works or good deeds. We are accepted in God because of Jesus. He is our righteousness. He is our fulfillment of the law. He is our perfection. He is the one who was the perfect and is the perfect Lamb of God. We are accepted in the Beloved. I've been rejected before. I know what it's like in the emotions to feel when someone says you're not good enough. Or someone told me one time I'm a dummy. And the comments in the past and things like that down through the course of time. People thumbing their nose at you. You know. Judgment. all of those things, ridicule, critique. Well, guess what? Jesus doesn't do none of those things to me. He doesn't ridicule me. He doesn't critique me. He doesn't taunt me. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, doesn't taunt us, doesn't ridicule us. If you don't understand what's going on in your life, ask God. He says He'll give you understanding. He'll allow you to bob and weave through the ups and downs through life. You can't see the pathway in front of you. Ask God to illuminate your step. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. God will show you which way to go, and He won't ridicule you. Have you ever asked somebody a question? They say, what'd you ask that for? They even say, I don't say this word a lot in church because it's strong language. There's no kids in here, but why'd you ask that? That's a stupid question. Stupid. Well, growing up, I've been taught that there are no stupid questions. There are no ignorant questions. Aren't you glad that when you don't know what to do, God doesn't look down and say, are you ignorant? No. If you engage in prayer and really want to connect with Him, and you're asking and pleading God for an answer, He'll show you. It may not be, He may not show you something down there. He may show you something right here. And then you ask again, He'll show you the next step, the next step. And so we see here that the Lord, He has accepted us. Thank God we've been accepted in the Beloved. Thank God. And if Jesus accepts us, we need to accept one another. All right, we see that there. We're accepted in the Beloved. Verse number 7. The Bible talks about forgiveness, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. A glimpse of grace tonight. We have been forgiven. We have forgiveness. We have been forgiven. Past, present, future. All sins gone because of the richness of His grace and mercy. All right. We won't turn there, but we know that in 1 Peter 5:10, He is the God of all grace. The God of all grace. It is mentioned there in 1 Peter 5:10. Of course, 1 Peter 5:7, 8, 9, and 10 are great verses. It starts off with casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And he goes on and he says, but whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished that are in your brethren, that are in the world. And he goes on and he talks about, and the God of all grace shall keep your hearts and minds along those lines. He talks about, and he ends that verse with, the God of all grace. The God of all grace. And so He is the God of all grace. All of our spiritual and daily blessings comes from the Lord. James 1:17, we mentioned that a moment ago. So we see the source of salvation is the grace of God. And then we see it's God's grace that is available for all men. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Turn back over to Titus if you're not already there. And so we see grace is available for all men. The source of salvation is the grace of God. But then the grace of God teaches the saints to live a holy and godly life. God's grace teaches us. I love the song Amazing Grace. There's a line in that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Save a wretch like me. I was once lost, now found, was blind, now see. But there's a line in that song that says, the grace of God, or God's grace, or the grace of God hath taught my heart to fear. And truly, that's what God's grace does. It teaches us. It teaches us how to live. It teaches us how to walk. Verse 12, Titus 2, the Bible says, teaches us. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. The subject matter is the grace of God. And the grace of God teaches us that, excuse me, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So the grace of God, it will teach us how to live a holy and godly life. And so we not only see God's saving grace, but His sanctifying grace. We covered that two or three Wednesdays ago, talking about the doctrine of sanctification and how God sanctifies us and God sets us apart. He's already done that positionally. We are His children through the new birth, but then He does it practically on a daily basis, conforming us to the image of His Son, sanctifying grace. God's grace will teach us some things if we let it. God has promised to give us sufficient grace. Sufficient grace. The word sufficient means that God's grace is, listen to this, is enough, just the right amount, and to suffice or be adequate. It means that God gives us just the right amount of grace we need to face the trials and difficult battles of life. He's not going to give you grace for tomorrow, today. His mercies are new every morning. Back in the Old Testament, the manna and all, it rained down daily. They were to take up their amounts daily because it wouldn't be no good for tomorrow. And so God, He gives us what we need today. Are you worried about tomorrow? He'll be there. In fact, He already knows about tomorrow. And He will proportion His grace for you tomorrow. Tomorrow, He wants you to think about today and rely and be dependent upon Him today. He'll get you through today, and then He'll get you through tomorrow because His grace is adequate. He has a vast supply. The grace of God has a vast supply. God's grace, He has plenty of grace. He is rich in mercy. So there is grace for every need. Now listen to this. I'll give you some words that describe the supply of God's grace. The supply. In 2 Corinthians, don't turn there, chapter 9, verse 14, there is the phrase exceeding grace. There is exceeding grace tonight. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 and verse 20, you'll find abundant grace. There's abundant grace. James chapter 4, verse 6, James talks about there is more grace. More grace. Acts chapter 4, verse 33, there is great grace. Romans 16, 20, verse 24, but also, I know these are a lot of verses, but 1 Corinthians 16, 23, there is abiding grace. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, there is the manifold grace of God. Tonight, we'll struggle, we'll war, we'll battle, we'll fight, we'll go through life, but there is enough grace for you to get you through. There's all of these different kinds of grace. And so that's just several words that identify God's supply of grace. But moving on from that, we know that God has a throne of grace. A throne of grace. That's in chapter number 4 and verse 16. There is a place tonight that we can reside at, we can go to with full confidence. We can go boldly to the throne of grace. We can go with confidence, knowing He will hear us. So we can find grace to help in time of need. And this is comforting to the believer. God has a throne of grace. We are told in Romans chapter 5, verse number 2, sinners enter into grace by faith. Let me ask you a question tonight. What kind of grounds are you sitting on right now? What kind of grounds are your feet upon right now? What kind of ground is under my feet? What kind of ground am I standing on? The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 2, it says, wherein the ground that you stand. Let me just read it to you. Let me give it to you. Romans chapter number 5. I don't want to mess this up. Romans chapter 5, verse number 2. By faith also we have access, or by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We are standing in grace. We got grace coming from behind us. We got grace beside us. We got grace in front of us. When I look at you in your face, I see grace. You look at me in my face, you see grace. We are just surrounded with grace. Kyla Rowland has a song, She's in Heaven. But I believe the name of the song is A Field of Grace. A Field of Grace. And I believe it's through the idea of walking through the woods. You know the phrase, so far in the woods, you can't see the forest. So deep in the woods, you can't see the forest. So I think it's through the idea of walking in the woods and you're just lost. You're bewildered. There's trees everywhere and bushes. There's wild animals. But then you see an opening. And you step out of the woods into that opening, and it is a huge field. You can breathe in that field. There's room in that field to move. You can see your pathway clearly. I think Kyle Rowland may have had that in mind when she wrote that song. Or at least I look at it that way, that life is that way. We are walking through the woods and we are trying to make what out of what, and we're trying to make sense out of things. We want some clarity. We want some moving room. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of our thickness and our darkness, God gives us a field of grace. He allows us to push through. He allows us to carry on. He allows us to experience the closeness of the Holy Spirit. He allows us to drink from His spiritual brooks and springs. And we see all these things. We are standing in grace. Wherein ye stand. God's people ought to be the happiest people in this world. This lost and dying world don't know one minute from another when the foundation on their feet is going to slip. Nothing's for sure. Everything is about, everything hinges upon a job or resources. The thing with a Christian is, if our jobs go away, if our resources dry up, we have a God who is rich in grace and mercy. And so we have a firm foundation. We are standing in grace tonight. And we have access to God's grace. And so the child of God is standing in grace, but the child of God is under grace. Under. Romans 6, 14 and 15 speaks of that. You can go there later and look. It speaks of our position in Christ. We have been, listen, delivered... delivered from the bondage of the law. The believer is not, and just follow me closely, the believer is not obligated to keep the law and its rules and ordinances as a means of salvation. We are saved by grace through faith. This does not mean we can freely sin because we are under grace. Because we are under grace, we are obligated. Because we are under grace, we don't freely sin. But because we're under grace, we are obligated to live a holy life and submit to the Word of God. Paul takes care of a lot of that in Romans. And he talks about, shall I sin because I'm under grace? Or, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So if I sin, there's more grace, right? God forbid. Paul says that we are debtor. We are debtor to the grace of God. And so Paul mentions those things in Romans. And he talks about that. He says, because we are under grace, we are obligated to live holy and submit to the Word of God. The believer has the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to live a holy and sanctified life. The child of God is under grace. The child of God is standing on grace. The child of God has access to the throne of grace. We have grace behind us. We have grace beside us. We're just standing in grace tonight. Not only that, but grace enables the believer to serve God and accomplish His will. We've said that here just a moment ago, but by the grace of God, Paul was able to help build the church in 1 Corinthians 3:10. It was the grace of God that called Paul into ministry, Galatians 1:15. It is grace that calls every believer into Christian service. Where you're serving at right now in the church or wherever you're at, whether it's a ministry or a job, it is a result of because you were prayerful and you answered a call. So it's the grace of God that calls every believer into Christian service. Those whom God calls, He will empower to serve. And I'll say amen right there. I've told the Lord many a time, Brother Ceylon, God, I don't know if I can do what You called me to do. And every time it's the same answer. You can't do what I called you to do. You can't do what I've called you to do. I can cause you to do what I've called you to do. It's a life of dependency is what it is. It's a life of taking today for today and abiding in Jesus. You're not perfect. You never claim to be perfect. You just know that someone apprehended you, Jesus Christ, and now you're trying to apprehend the cause He apprehended you. I've been trying to. Now, I know God called me to preach, and God called me to teach, and God called me to pastor. I know that. But I'm still trying to apprehend it fully. I'm not content with the pastor that I am. I want to be a better pastor. I'm not content with the walk that I have with God. I want a closer walk with God. I want to get to know Him more intimately. And so tonight we see that when it comes to living for the Lord and serving Him, He gives us enablement. He gives us grace to serve in the areas that He's called us. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I love saying this. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But I'm definitely not what I used to be. Praise the Lord. And so we see all of these things. Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles and speaks of the dispensation of grace which was given him. The word dispensation means a stewardship to which he was entrusted. It also has reference to the day of grace which in now we live. This, we're living in the day of grace when people can say yes to Jesus. But there's coming a day when this day of grace is going to be over. And we're going to be out of here. In Noah's day, the Bible tells us he was a preacher of righteousness. And we have 120 years that he did that. And he built that ark and he preached the gospel. And he said, judgment is coming. And you need to heed the call. I'm building this ark and you need to come into this ark. You need to trust God as your Savior, so to speak. And the day came where it started to rain. They had 120 years to respond to Noah's message. And the day came where Noah said, come on. You know, God said, come into the ark. Noah, the door was open. Come on, come on. And then the door was closed. And the only people in that ark was Noah and his family. Someone said one time, well, don't you feel like a failure? Shouldn't Noah feel like a failure? He preached all those years and had no converts but his family. Praise God! He had his family in the ark. Let us strive to get our family in the ark. And if our family's in the ark, let us hit Powder Springs, knocking on doors. Let us pass people in the grocery store, putting up church signs. Wherever it is, whatever you're doing, let us share Jesus with people, trying to get them in the ark, because one day the door's going to close and there's going to be some people left behind. We're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. Every time we have church service and people riding by, they see a glimpse of grace. The lights are on. There's cars in the parking lot. The message is being preached and taught, saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And people are just... probably throw their trash out in the church parking lot passing by. The ark is open, but nobody's entering but those who are saved. And so they see a glimpse of grace. They pass churches down the street. There's a glimpse of grace, and God's showing grace and all of these things. And yet there's so many more people that need to come into the ark and get saved. The dispensation of grace. Let me mention this. All believers are entrusted with the gospel and are to be good stewards of the grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10. The day of grace is, as I said, the present age in which we live, when all men can freely come to Christ for salvation. It began on the day of Pentecost and will end with the rapture of the church. A few more things, we'll be through. Grace gives the Christian consolation and hope. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10:29. This is because the Holy Spirit points men to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The Holy Spirit convicts men of their sins. The Holy Spirit regenerates and places the sinner into the family of God. The Holy Spirit teaches us about Jesus and lifts up Christ. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is a work of grace. Grace is given by God to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. God honors those that have a humble and submissive spirit. Let me mention one more thing and we'll be through. Number one, there's the definition of grace. Number two, there's the descriptions of grace or facts about grace. And then number three, there's the different words with grace or companions of grace, companion words. We find in Psalm 84:11, Proverbs 4:9 as well, grace and glory. Proverbs 3:34, 1 Peter 5:5, there's grace and meekness. John 1:14 and 17, there's grace and truth. Colossians 3:16, there's grace and singing. 2 Thessalonians 1:2, there's grace and peace. And then 1 Timothy 1:2, 2 Timothy 1:2, Titus 1:4, there is grace, mercy, and peace. Different words with grace, companions of grace. To me, it seems like grace is everywhere at all times. With us, by us, under us, on top of us, chasing us. There's a throne room of grace, saved by grace. Grace is for all men. It also sounds to me like we can't lose. We can be an overcomer if we want to. And so tonight, that's the lesson, a glimpse of grace. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, we just thank you for the grace of God that brings salvation, that has appeared to all men. God, teach us through grace, by the Holy Spirit, to just take one day at a time to be dependent upon you. No doubt, Lord, we will feel the blows of this world. No doubt the mind is not redeemed. We'll feel discouragement. We'll feel depression even at times. But God, your grace is real. Be fresh in our minds. Help us to overcome mental obstacles. Lord, help us just continue to encourage one another. So good to hear about the testimonies earlier. and help us move forward in the grace of God. We love you, Lord. We thank you, and we praise you tonight for the things that you have done, the things you're doing now, and the things you're going to do. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right, anything else to mention? All right, you've been very good listeners tonight. You may be dismissed.